wake up, put your shoes on, take a breath of the northern air, and rub those eyes.
I know this will be shocking news to you, Jeff, but Stephon Diggs seems to have forced his way out of the NFL team and forced a trade to another contender. I know that's never happened before, but Stephon Diggs does precipitate one of the biggest moves of the offseason, going from being Josh Allen's best receiver by far for a contending team to get, and he gets to go to the Houston Texans with another great young quarterback and a team that looks like it's very much on the rise. So Stephon Diggs once again gets his way. I want to get Jeff's analysis on that, J.J. McCarthy's rise, the many options for the Minnesota Vikings, and what the Vikings might need other than quarterback at this point. This is Jeff Diamond's Vikings NFL Insider, part of TalkNorth.com, coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios. I want to thank our longtime sponsor, White Bear Lake Superstore, whitebearlakesuperstore.com. Also, if you hear this in time, my friend Scott Dayton over at Twill in the Edina Gallery is having a Samuelson trunk show. Anytime he links up with a new company, it's because he thinks it's great. He only stock stuff that he absolutely loves. So check that out as well, twillmn.com. Best way to listen to this show or any show at the network. Subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's easy. We have two Viking shows. This one is Jeff's and highlights kind of the insider view of the NFL. We also do the Viking Update show for more of a writer's view of all this. All right, so what's your big picture reaction to Stephon Diggs' move?
Yeah, certainly not a surprise. He, as we know, a diva wide receiver, and towards the end of last season, his play time had diminished, his production had diminished in Buffalo. It's still a little surprising from the standpoint that they also lost their other starting wide receiver, Gabe Davis, to Jacksonville in free agency. So the Bills really kind of have their backs against the wall going into the draft, need to draft a wide receiver for Josh Allen. And Diggs was certainly productive, had four straight 1,000-yard seasons in Buffalo, as we know. But it just tells us how badly the Bills wanted to get rid of him, that they would trade him and not get a pick this year. They've got a second-round pick in 2025, but they also had to trade Diggs and a sixth-rounder this year and a fifth-rounder next year to get to that second-rounder in 2025, which probably won't be – well, I guess it's the Vikings second-rounder that Houston acquired in the trade with the Vikings. So it could be a decent second rounder, but if the Vikings have a good season, then it's a lower second round pick. I just think Stephon, yeah, he's a great player, very productive player, but he's a malcontent. He was a malcontent in Minnesota, forced his way out of here, and the same thing held true in Buffalo, complaining almost nonstop. And we know some of it was behind the scenes, but some of it was very public. He skipped part of minicamp last year for whatever reason, upset head coach Sean McDermott. So, yeah, I think the Bills thought he's not worth paying $18.5 million this year and dealing with the drama that he brings. But again, for a team that has been seemingly on the precipice of being a Super Bowl team, but hasn't been able to come through in the playoffs, now they lose their best receiver. And even though, as we said, his production and playtime had diminished, he is 30 years old now. I think in the final analysis, the Vikings look back and say, hey, we're okay having traded Stephon Diggs in 2020 for a first-round pick and a couple other picks. And by the way, that first-round pick was Justin Jefferson, the best receiver in the league. So it worked out okay for the Vikings.
And let's go big picture here. Diggs, as we're talking about here, is a unique case. He does wear people out, and eventually you have to get rid of him if he's not completely happy. But we are seeing a trend overall, even with people who were not considered to be divas, of teams trading premier wide receivers. The Packers traded Devontae Adams. The Vikings and the Bills have traded Stephon Diggs. The Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill, who might be the most explosive receiver in the game. You know, I'm sure there are other options I could think of if I put my head to it. It is interesting that it seems like two things are happening. People are putting incredible value on the wide receiver position. They realize how important it is. They're developing stars there. They're investing in stars there. And they get to a certain point and they say, okay, now we don't want to spend any more money on that player.
Yeah, and how does that translate for the Vikings and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell with their thinking on Justin Jefferson, to me, you're still talking about the best receiver in the game. You're talking about a team that's probably going to have a quarterback on a rookie deal, which makes it a lot more palatable to have Jefferson at whatever $30 million plus a year on his extension to help that young quarterback. Let's face it, they're going to trade up and draft a guy, whether it's J.J. McCarthy or if they get a shot at Drake May or Jaden Daniels, that could make it a little more interesting. But they're going to make a move. And if they don't, then this whole offseason is a disaster, in my opinion, if you're counting on Sam Darnold and Nick Mullins and to carry the load. And the rookie they drafted last year, I can't remember his name. He was so bad against when he started against Detroit. What's his name again, Jim?
I kind of blocked it out. I'll see if I can get my memory to dredge it up. But boy, that was bad.
Don't worry about it. I don't think he's going to be a big factor in their thinking, especially after they draft a rookie quarterback. But he could stick around as a backup guy, certainly. And we'll figure it out eventually.
Jaren Hall, by the way.
Jaren Hall, thank you.
That's an amazing thing, Jeff. We covered the Vikings, and we couldn't remember the name of the guy who started two games for him. Started two games for him last year. My goodness. That was the most amazing thing, and what really fooled me, I will admit, I was wrong on Jaren Hall. I thought the way he played in Atlanta was an indicator that he might actually have a chance to be an NFL quarterback. And man, Elias, I wrong about that.
Yeah, he really had an awful performance when he got the start. I think that was the Detroit game or whatever it was. Not a good finish for Jaren Hall of the season. And the same thing really for Nick Mullins. I remember a certain columnist writing, anybody but Jaren Hall, right? Or anybody but Nick Mullins. Wasn't that you?
I think that was me. And I'm still not high on Nick Mullins, but he's better than Jaren Hall.
Yeah, he is. He is that. At least he managed to throw for 400 yards while throwing four interceptions.
that's the interesting thing about Mullins. He puts up numbers. He puts the ball downfield. Just the mistakes tend to override the successes.
Yeah, definitely true. I think that once they draft the rookie, I think Mullins will be on his way out, and I think it'll be Darnold will back up the rookie ultimately, even if Darnold gets the first start or two. And then Jaren Hall is probably your number three guy still in development to be an ultimate backup quarterback in the league. So we'll see. But it's certainly going to be interesting to see how the Vikings approach this draft. And as you mentioned in the opener, I think they still have some other needs too that they need to hit in this draft. Now, they don't have a lot of picks after trading that second rounder, and they don't have a third rounder either from the Hockenson trade. And so you go all the way down to the fourth round. Now, they got two fourths and two fifths. They can add some quality players, and I think they're going to probably go after some young cornerbacks. I still think that they need to sign a veteran corner in the league, and there are a couple of really intriguing guys. If they could make a move for him, talking about Stephon Gilmore, who had a really good season in Dallas last year, five-time Pro Bowler, former NFL Defensive Player of the Year. He's still a free agent. And Xavien Howard in Miami is a four-time Pro Bowler, two-time league interception leader. He was paid $18 million by Miami last year, and so he was a cap casualty. Gilmore made $11 million last year. Maybe they can get a deal for one of these guys for around $10 million. They've got $17 million of cap room, the Vikings do. They also can pick up another $10 million if they get Justin Jefferson's deal done with a big signing bonus and a low base salary in 2024. So I still think this defense, that they've added a lot of pieces in terms of pass rushers. They just added Jihad Ward from the Giants at linebacker, and he can be an edge rusher. He had five sacks last year, started nine games, kind of an under-the-radar signing that happens now in this kind of latter phase of free agency. They added Shaquille Griffin earlier, kind of shows that they want to bring some competition in for guys like a Caleb Evans and Mekhi Blackmon. Andrew Booth Jr., I don't see him even lasting this season. He's just injured too often. He's too inconsistent. unless they really makes a big move and they coach him up. He had talent coming in as a second round pick, but he also had that injury history coming in. So I think there's still a lot more work to be done. Brian Flores, you can tell his imprint on this defense in free agency with guys like Grenard and Van Ginkel and Blake Cashman, and they're adding some good talented players, but the corners, I think, are still a concern.
No doubt about it. I agree with you completely. I think Gilmore or Howard, somebody like that, would be a dramatic upgrade. I think if Byron Murphy's your second corner, you're probably pretty good. If he's your first corner, then maybe not.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I want to get to McCarthy's rise and what it might mean for the Vikings in terms of how they might look at the first round. Alec Lewis from The Athletic wrote a really interesting piece about this that maybe made me think a little bit. I want to run it by you. But first, let's hear more about the White Bear Lake Superstore, whitebearlakesuperstore.com.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. The White Bear Lake Superstore at Buick GMC, my great friend, owner Paul Rubin, general manager Charlie Guttrell, their fantastic staff, Minnesota's number one volume Buick GMC dealer, 6 years running with the best selection and their super friendly premium team. Check out their great website, whitebearlakesuperstore.com, and you will find 1.9% APR for 36 months, plus a $750 purchase allowance and a $2,500 trade assistance on 2023 and 2024 GM Sierra 1500s, 0.9% APR and a $2,750 purchase allowance on 2023 Buick Envisions, 0.9% APR and a $1,500 purchase allowance on 2024 GMC Terrains. No monthly payments for 90 days on all these great vehicles, and the world's first all-electric super truck, the GMC Hummer EV pickup and SUV. The White Bear Lake Superstore also is the Quigley 4x4 Van Superstore. They are a certified elite dealer. Only 7% of GM dealers make the cut. Visit in person at 3900 Highway 61 North in White Bear Lake or online at whitebearlakesuperstore.com for all your vehicle needs and the premium experience. Buick GMC, we are professional grade.
Thanks to White Bear Lake Superstore. We do appreciate it. If you know anybody who would like to advertise with our show, sponsor our show, you can reach our sales executive, Karen Cleary, at KCLEARY at talkork.com. We do appreciate it. We appreciate everybody who listens. So Alec Lewis wrote an interesting thing the other day, and he's not the kind of guy who just throws out wild speculation. It seems to be coming from either logic or maybe some sources. He said, what? Is there still a possibility, as much as we have focused on them moving up and getting McCarthy or May or somebody who might slide a little bit, is there a possibility they simply take the best player available at 11 to help help their defense, maybe get another edge rusher or a safety or something, and then use the 23rd pick and take someone like Michael Penix Jr.?
I think it's certainly a possibility if they really like Penix Jr. or perhaps Bo Nix from Oregon. Could be a possibility at that spot, even though both those guys were projected to be second rounders. But we know what happens in the NFL draft and how quarterbacks are driven up because of their obvious importance to NFL teams. And I still think the Vikings made that move with Houston to get that extra first round pick in order to parlay that into a move up into the top five. And they know that it's risky to even trade with someone like the Chargers at 5 or the Giants at 6 and then have someone jump them into the top 4 and get one of those first 4 quarterbacks. I still think that's the motivation. I still think that they like those quarterbacks at the top of the draft beyond Caleb Williams. And yeah, they probably like a shot at Jaden Daniels. That's probably not going to happen. He'll probably go to Washington. And so it could be Drake May. It could be J.J. McCarthy. Maybe they're thinking about even moving up to number 3 with New England if they think that McCarthy is rising, as it certainly appears that his stock is rising quickly in the draft. And how does that translate into him being a top 5 pick or a top 4 pick? We'll see. But I think that they realize, I'm talking about Kwesi and Kevin, that if they want to get the quarterback they want, and if that's McCarthy or May, probably McCarthy, it seems that they're going to have to get to Arizona's number 4 spot to ensure that happens. And they'll probably have to trade those two number ones and maybe a third or fourth round pick next year to make sure that they get up into that spot. And to get up to number three, it might even cost them a first or second next year to do that. I'm not sure they want to go that rich on a trade up. So I think it's really going to be a fascinating draft to see how it plays out and how the Vikings are going to be able to make that type of move. As you said, if they stick at 11, yeah, they can get a good defensive player, maybe one of the best corners in the draft, maybe another edge rusher in the rotation. So that could certainly play well. And then if maybe Michael Penix Jr. is the guy that they're in love with, and they take him at 23. But again, it's risky to even think that could happen. Worst case scenario, they end up with nobody. And all of a sudden you're sitting there, well, we got Sam Darnold and Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall. So, yeah, I don't think that's not the scenario that they want. And certainly I think that we talk about what are the other needs. They still don't have a starting left guard unless they think Blake Brandel, who they paid $9.5 million over 3 years, which is kind of starter money. And maybe they're projecting him to move into that spot. But I still think Dalton Risner is the better option. They got him for $4 million last year. He's still sitting out there. Seems like he overplays his hand every year in free agency last 2 years. So they can probably get him re-signed. And even with a slight raise, I still think he's the best option. And then Brandel is there as a swing player at both guard and tackle, which is good. And maybe he can push Ed Ingram at right guard, because Ingram's had some inconsistency too in his career.
Yes, no doubt about it. Why do you think McCarthy is rising on the boards, at least the theoretical mock draft boards, as much as he has?
Well, I think it's partially the pedigree that he brings as a national champion quarterback and the athletic ability and the fact that he's so young at 20 years old that's attractive to teams, even though quarterbacks we know can play into their late 30s. So that's not as big an issue as some other positions. But I think his pro day went well. And even though, again, not to put so much stock in pro days or private workouts or whatever the case may be, but he's just a guy that just seems very coachable, smart, has the good arm, has the mobility, and I just think he's a winner, and that's always appealing to teams when you look at who they want to potentially sign. And not to say that Drake May wasn't at North Carolina, but certainly didn't have the success that McCarthy did. Jaden Daniels had some success at LSU, but they weren't a playoff team this year. And even though he had great stats, and even Caleb Williams, who, as we've talked before, I think he might be kind of overrated when you look at some of his performances against the really top quality teams that he faced. And you talk about some of the baggage he may bring with his ego and his father trying to pull the strings. It's just, I think that could be a really tricky one for the Bears. Maybe he'll end up great, but maybe not. And perhaps one of those other quarterbacks, number two, three, or four, will perform like CJ Stroud did last year for Houston as the second guy picked. So it's, as we know, quarterbacks are a crapshoot in the draft, and they're always going to be. If we talk about these top four guys and you throw in Knicks and Panix Jr., if there could be even five or six first rounders, well, probably half of them are going to be busts. And it really sets a franchise back when that happens. The Vikings have to hope that that's not the case for them.
We naturally talk a lot about the NFC and the NFC North, but I want to ask a couple AFC questions here. Number one, and really they're both related to the Bills and the Bills trading Stephon Diggs. Is it possible that the Texans are going to replace the Bills as a team that contends, you know, for the AFC championship and maybe Super Bowl every year? And is it possible the Jets are now the favorite in the AFC East?
Yeah, I wouldn't quite say the Jets are the favorite at this point. I think Miami's still in the mix. And you talk about a big season coming up for Tua at quarterback there, that he has not been extended yet. Had a really good season until the end when he lost the last three starts, including the playoff game in Kansas City where it was freezing. But, I mean, Miami has to be considered up there, but they lost Christian Wilkins on defense. The Bills losing several starters, due to their cap situation, including Diggs and their starting center Morris. So the Bills are having a little difficulty. Leonard Floyd had a really good year there. He's not back. It's just, I think that AFC East is really up for grabs. And if Rodgers can come in and play great, which we'll see how that one plays out. There's just so many questions for the Jets. Mike Williams, they signed as their big free agent wide receiver. He's got talent, but hasn't been able to stay healthy. And he's coming off a torn ACL that he sustained in Minnesota last year. So still a lot of questions for the Jets. And Rodgers is, 41 now. It's just, I don't know that there is a favorite in the AFC East, but you talk about there's lots of questions in that division, definitely. And the Bills have basically no starting receiver right now.
Right. Yeah, I do kind of like the Dolphins as a favorite in that division. The Jets are the ultimate, if they stay healthy, team. But they're looking at a lot of players who are either old or who are injury prone or coming off injuries that need to stay healthy.
Yeah, definitely true. And you talk about that offensive line that's been problematic for them. And they signed Tyron Smith from the Cowboys. Yeah, he's been probably a future Hall of Famer, but he hasn't played more than, I think, 11 games in the last 5 years, and he's always hurt. They've had other injury issues, so we'll see what happens with that Jets offensive line. I think that's really the big concern there, if they can keep Rodgers upright.
Yes. All right, let's get a final thought from Jeff. Once again, we're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios. This is Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider. Please check out our full sports variety and outdoor content at TalkNorth.com. We've got Russo on hockey, Krasinski on the Wolves, Roy Smalley, Lavelle Neal, and myself on the Twins, John Millay on preps, Jeff Diamond, of course, on the NFL, myself and John Krasinski talking about the Vikings from a writer's standpoint, Mike Grimm on the Gophers, Dave Lee on music, outdoor, plenty of outdoor content, some fun stuff, some unexpected stuff. Check it all out. And again, if you like the show, please subscribe to your favorite podcast app. All right, Jeff, what final topic do you want to hit on?
Let's talk about, since the pro days are kind of wrapped up now, and now we get into the period of time where 3 weeks before the draft, when teams start bringing in these players to their facilities for visits, or they visit them at their colleges, which was a kind of a process that really irritated me as a team president and GM, because I thought it was a colossal waste of money. When you're bringing these players in, or you're going out to see them, and you've already seen them at the combine, if they worked out, you've already seen them at their pro day. A lot of these players were at the Senior Bowl or other All-Star games, and then you bring them into your facility for another visit or recheck or whatever. It just kind of drove me crazy. And it's the time of year when I would always remind our player personnel, execs and scouts and coaches that we needed to focus on how the players actually performed on the field in college games, and spend less time kind of poring over their measurables and in drills such as the 40-yard dash and how effective they are lifting weights and so forth. I'm actually talking to you today from Ohio State, where I'm going to be speaking today to a couple of MBA negotiation classes, and I'm looking out my hotel window at Ohio Stadium. I think that's what they call it, the Buckeye House, and thinking Marvin Harrison Jr. played pretty well on that field for the Buckeyes, as did C.J. Stroud the year before. So it's really more important how they played, and that's why, yeah, it's great to see a player run a 4.240. Or watch a quarterback in a pro day with a rocket arm. But I kind of like what I see in a guy like J.J. McCarthy, who just quarterbacked Michigan to the national championship and obviously has the arm strength and running ability and the leadership skills to be successful to next level. I think Viking fans would be very excited if that's the guy that they tap come April 25th. But we shall see.
No doubt about it. We'll continue breaking down draft, trade, free agency prospects here at Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider. It's going to be a very interesting month. We'll be back with you soon. Please check out TalkNorth.com for all of our other shows. And we do appreciate you listening.